Right. Good morning and welcome to Munich. I'm pleased that you were able to come here at such short notice. Also welcome to our colleagues following us on the phone in German and English. It's been about 2 weeks since the members of our board, Dr. Roger and Peter Monin, thought about this and they looked at media's offer and they now want to give you some of the details on the investors agreement and their opinion. So I would like to hand over to Till Reuter immediately. Just to let you know, you can ask questions at the end of the presentation. It's important for us to know your name and the media you represent, and the questions and answers can also, we can get questions over the phone as well. We will take the German questions first and then the English questions. I'll explain that to you afterwards to make sure that we can answer all the questions appropriately. So I'd now like to hand over. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I too would like to welcome you to our press conference here this morning and thank you for coming at such short notice to Munich. I'd also like to welcome those of you following us on the phone. We have achieved a lot for KUKA in the last few weeks, and I think that's what we'd like to inform you on today. Peter Monning and I have worked very, very hard in the last 2 to 6 weeks, and you know that Midea announced its offer and presented the offer, and we used this time intensely to check the offer, and of course we negotiated with Midea, and in that way we were able to turn their declaration of intent into specific agreements, which is for us and for our employees and investors. We have an attractive price for our shareholders. The attractive price was not enough, however. That's why we worked very hard in this investors' offer and to turn this into specific legally binding steps. And this is until the end of the year 2023. The term until the end of 2023, that's 7.5 years, that's quite a lot more than the normal amount, which is 3 to 5 years. And this shows you that KUKA is, or that Midea is very committed to KUKA as a result of this. In addition to the investors agreement, we also got together with the supervisory board and published with them our founded opinion. And this is after a careful test of and check of all of this, we see that the price of 115 shares, euros per share is appropriate. And we think that this is good for the company, the shareholders, the customers, and the employees. We welcome their commitment, and as a result, we are recommending to our shareholders that they accept the offer. I'll be giving you more information on that in just a minute. Our partnership with Midea supports our growth strategy, in particular, to improve our market access to China. China is the largest world market and when it comes to service robots, and we also want to expand Industry 4.0, and we know that we have to invest more there. It's a question of having new partners in order to grow with them in Industry 4.0. The new field of service robots, I'll be reporting on that later on, and we see great potential in addition to industrial robots, also service robots. And, of course, we also want to enhance our international logistics business. And we see that further developments here show a great deal of potential here. And we, first of all, want to give you the major points of the investors' agreement. Then we will go into our founded opinion, and then we will talk about strategy. In the investors' agreement, you can see that we didn't forget anything. Here's our overview, and what's important to for you here is to see that we talked about a lot of different issues, strategy, corporate governance, and something that's very important to us in Augsburg is guarantees for the sites and employment. But I'd like to talk about some of the details, legally binding details for the next 7.5 years for KUKA, for our employees, and for the site. Now, some of the details here. We have a strategy, and the strategy up until 2020 was presented to you last year. This was called KUKA's 2020 Growth Strategy. And you see that a number of issues were focused on. Of course, it's very important for us to grow in China. We want to invest in R&D, and today we have about 500 developers, and the figure should go up to about 1,000 by the year 2020. And we are very strong in hardware and software, and we will also enter the field of software IT. This is a very important strategy for Industry 4.0 to make things appropriate. And we want to expand our business in China, and here we want to gain market shares in China and also in the field of logistics. And here we see a great deal of potential that we want to leverage our growth strategy here in logistics. This is about 600 million today, and we want to reach the 1 billion level by next year. In addition to our growth strategy and market opportunities, which we'll talk about later on, it's also important for us for KUKA to remain independent. What does that mean? The executive board will remain independent, and Midea will be appropriately represented on the supervisory board. So you see, Peter Moon and myself will remain the team, and we are the team that will manage KUKA into the future. And in our negotiations, it was very important for us, for both of us, to have the right colleagues and to have the right headcount development and the right people in sales. We want the right people so that we can move KUKA forwards. And this is the team that has created the basis in the past few years, and this will be the same team that will lead KUKA into the future. We will continue to be independent. This was very important to us. We are not bound by instructions, so the executive board, as you see it today, will be the board which will take the company forward. Our supervisory board will remain a supervisory board with 12 members, and we have the shareholder side and the employee side. I don't need to repeat myself here. Midea also wants to be represented on the supervisory board. And an important addition to this is that Midea recognizes the fact that we need an appropriate number of independent members on the supervisory board, and we said this is something that would be from the customer side or from R&D, and one of these will be on the supervisory board as well. So this is a commitment to the fact that we have an efficient supervisory board in the future as well. Now, the next chart shows you that KUKA will remain an independent company. Midea does not want to have a dominating agreement, so this means we will remain an independent company, and there will be no change in our listing on the stock exchange. And a very important point is that our dividend policy will not change. We've talked about our dividend policy in the past, and our policy was to involve the shareholders in our success. And also, we should invest even more in our R&D. We have adapted our dividend policy. We have grown from 0.20 to 0.50 this year, and it was also important for us to have enough money for our R&D to make progress there as well. And we will continue to invest in R&D in the future. Another thing that's important for us and colleagues who know KUKA for some time now, and we also talk about the fact that it will not be split. Midea is committed to one KUKA, and we also have product business, robots, assemblies, systems, logistics. These are things that KUKA wants to continue, and this is a guarantee that there will not be any split-up of KUKA or any sale of KUKA. We also welcome the fact that our shareholder base is diverse. In the investors' agreement, we have issued our opinion, and now the shareholders have to decide whether they will accept this offer or not. And Midea is also open here. If large shareholders remain, and then we would also have a diversified shareholder base with a large amount of free float. That will depend on the acceptance of the offer. The next chart shows you the business data. How do we want to continue in the future? Basically, KUKA will continue to work, and all of the sites that we have today will be maintained, and we will change with Industry 4.0, and we want here to emphasize the fact that 4.0 is something that gives us the security. That's why we have this working paper, and this is legally binding, and this needs to be given shape. But what's important here is that all of the KUKA standards that we have now will be continued in the future, and we will also look into this with a monitoring system. KUKA can also consider the questions of data. We will not have any access by the shareholders, which is not the case in the past as well. And this has been regulated specially because there is specific data in Industry 4.0, which makes this very important. So we will also want to continue to grow in this area. So this gives us the requirements that we have, not only products in robots, service, etc., also for Industry 4.0. We can become a champion here, and here we will be able to develop new business models. In addition to the customer data that are very important to myself and Peter Monin, and also the price, we'll be hearing more about that. And the next point is also a very important one for us as well. Security for our employees, for our colleagues, is very important, and long-term security of the sites. With 7.5 years, this gives us a long-term agreement with Midea. And this is a long-term agreement. It's an unusually long-term, so that all of the sites will be maintained and all of our employees will keep their jobs. Of course, company agreements, collective wage agreements will not change. We just have to have this in writing, and R&D, we can invest in our sites. And this means that we have managed to come up with a long-term situation, especially in Augsburg, in the German sites, we have long-term security that our colleagues and employees will continue to work as they have in the past. Nothing will change for our employees. The employees, as last year or in the last 6 years, together with Peter Mohn and myself, we do all the best we can for KUKA. We develop new products. We're close to our customers. And this success in the past is what has led us to have an agreement for 7.5 years. This gives us security for 7.5 years so that our employees continue to do exactly what they've done in the past. In other words, the best for KUKA. Due to this obligation and due to the investors' agreement, and the supervisory board and executive board, we've discussed all of this and we have agreed that together we want to accept this offer and we want to recommend its acceptance. In addition to the investors' agreement and the security of the sites, as well as investments in R&D, assistance for our strategy in China, we also have assessed the offer in financial terms. We have heard from 4 banks, 2 of them were the consulting banks, and then 2 independent banks as well, and all of them came to the conclusion that the offer of 115 euros per share in financial terms is an appropriate offer. Now, the commitments to the sites, the commitments to the workforce and support in our long-term strategy, as well as the price, after assessing this intensely in the executive board and the supervisory board, that this is in the interest of the company, our shareholders, our partners, and our colleagues. And that is why we recommend accepting this offer. And I'd like to say one thing on a personal note, and just based on discussions we've had in the past weeks, we began at a very early point in time at the general meeting. We discussed this openly, and I also have shares, and I decided that I will tender 50% of my shares, not 100%. I personally will tender 50%, and I'll tell you why. On the one hand, I think the offer is attractive. On the other hand, I also believe in KUKA's growth potential, especially in our new constellation. That's why I decided to tender 50% and to keep 50%. Now that brings us to the premium, and Peter Mohn will then comment on the premium.
Well, Till Reuter has said that we have an attractive offer in front of us, and you can see some comparisons on the chart. At the beginning of February, on the 3rd of February, Midea announced that they were going to have a 10% share in our company and wanted to increase that share. If we take the uninfluenced price, which was that the premium was 60%. Compared with the closing price of the 17th of May, that is, the day before the announcement of the offer by Midea, the premium is still, the price of €115 was still 36% over the price, the share price at that time. At that point in time, the analysts' consensus was €77.48. And therefore, the offer is 50% over the analyst consensus. So, what are the next steps with regard to this offer? The regulatory acceptance period ends on the 15th of July, and a couple of days later, we will know what the result is. If Midea has more than 30%, then there will be a further 14-day acceptance period up until the 3rd of August. That is the deadline. That's also known as the extended period. A couple of days later, we will have the final acceptance price and the stake of Midea in Kuka. Up until the closing, there will probably be a couple of months go by, because up until the closing date, according to the acceptance period, a number of regulations have to be fulfilled or conclusions, particularly antitrust provisions, but also other regulatory approvals, which Midea will also apply for. For example, in the US, there is the CFIUS release, which is necessary, or the CFIUS approval. The point in time at which Midea will have fulfilled all of the conditions is the 31st of March 2017. And at that point in time, the offer will be concluded. And that is also known as the long stop date. Before I now go give the floor back to Till Reuter and we take an outlook for the future, allow me to make take a look back and the history of the development of the Kuka share over the past. We took the point when Till Reuter joined Kuka, which was seven years, and over that seven-year period, there has been a tenfold increase in the price. And the NDAX has increased by 200%. So the outperformance of Kuka compared with the index started in 2012, as you can see from the chart. I think that everybody who is involved with Kuka can be proud of this development in the price. But we don't just want to look back, we also want to look forward. And we have a lot of plans for the future of Kuka. And I'd like to give the floor back to Till Reuter so that he can say something about that. Thank you, Peter. Well, I think that Kuka has developed fabulously. The number of employees has grown in R&D, and that will bring robotics further. And the question is, how can we grow together with Midea in our shareholder structure? We want to move from 3 billion to 4 to 4.5 billion, and that was put forward in 2015. At that point in time, we had 2 billion euros as a result of the acquisition of Swisslog. You can see the various subjects which I would like to address. First of all, markets and regions. We have 1 billion sales in the US and 500 million in China. China, in the robotics area, in plant construction and consumer robotics, will be one of the major markets where we want to grow, 1 billion by 2020. And I think that we will achieve that figure with the help of Midea. But with the help of Midea, maybe we'll get to that level earlier. With Kuka Industries, well, a couple of years ago, we established that company, Rice Robotics Systems. Rice Robotics was an acquisition from 2014. Apart from the product business, we're focusing on small solutions. In the past, we focused on larger solutions in aerospace and from automotive. In terms of Kuka Industries, we are now focusing on standardized customer solutions which will be able to put on the market in large quantities. We also have the issue of logistics and e-commerce. Here, we think that there are enormous opportunities for the future. There's been a number of acquisitions in the past year. We see enormous potential for automation, and you will see then in a lot of countries, companies, there's an enormous amount of automation. So in terms of industry, but in e-commerce as well, there's enormous potential. And then we have the issue of 4.0. 4.0 is an enormous opportunity which allows us to use HUVs and intelligent products, robots, products which can communicate with each other, which can perform tasks. They are networked, and we will expand 4.0 on that basis so that we have more software business in the future than in the past. I'll go into these individual points in detail. But first of all, the market side. China is the fastest-growing robotics market, and if you compare that with other mechanical engineers in the past and the industry, then in that area, there have been enormous increase in China, and China is the most important market there for machine tools. We are expecting for robotics that in future, this market will be decisive for our company. The market is decisive because we can see that because of the increased wage costs in China, the area, the field of automation is important in order to guarantee that the workbench in China is automated and made more efficient. In China, we have 500 million, and the aim is to achieve 1 billion by 2020. And here, today, we have under 10 locations in China where we sell robots, and there we will ensure that we have a broader representation. There are a lot of companies that are present in China. We will ensure that we grow faster and therefore are able to tap into new markets with our products. Now, Industry 4.0, the second most important issue that I want to address. Our robots are now being made intelligent. In the past, the software was manually updated on the basis of a USB stick. In future, software will automatically be downloaded. The mobile telephone is a good example of how things can work in industry. We'll have an app store for industry. We're working very, very hard on that in KUKA, and we can see that in this field, we will need to invest further in order to link together and connect all of our products, and on the basis of a database for our product, we'll be able to offer various solutions. What do we mean by that? In the past, we only looked at the robots. Now we look at ecosystems, and those are optimized on the basis of data. And that is an enormous opportunity. We have already built robots which can see. We have cameras which have been integrated into the robot. We have robots who have LBRs and sensors and can feel, and we have robots that have been made mobile. So seeing, feeling, and being mobile, that is data which we can exploit in order to provide new solutions. What do we need in order to achieve that? We have to invest majorly in research and development. And here we see that we can continue on the path that we have adopted. We can take the money that we need to invest so that we have the right employees for 4.0, and we can move forward with the solutions which we are proposing. As regards logistics now, all of us know what the e-commerce league is, and we know how many steps have to be undertaken, and there's enormous potential here. 10 km-15 km are walked in a particular warehouse, and that is a clear indication of how mobile platforms associated with robotics can be used usefully in these warehouses. And that is why 2 years ago, we bought Swisslog and integrated it into KUKA. Production and logistics were therefore integrated together in KUKA, and we were able to provide customers with one-stop solutions. If the logistics changes and production is changed and relocated there, we can offer solutions. So people who have refrigeration products also need a solution, and we will be using KUKA as a preferred equipment supplier, and we'll be using that potential in China in order to grow, and that is the basis for our growth strategy, and it underpins our growth strategy. Moving on to the next area, which is service, robotics, and general industry. In terms of general industry, you know that in 2009, when I started, automotive represented approximately 80% of this sector. And it was important to me to make KUKA the number one in the automotive sector. But there's only single-digit growth in the automotive sector, and for that reason, it was important to focus on general industry and to expand that and acquire market share. And that's what we've done. Today, we want to continue to be number one in automotive, but there we have 50%. And in terms of non-automotive, there we have 50% as well. And here we see greater growth chances, and we believe for that reason we will be focusing on that area. And there is also the issue of service robotics. Service robotics allows robotics to be embedded in our day-to-day life. And we are here going to be working with household appliances in order to provide new products on the basis of robotics, which will improve our lives. Robotics will be introduced in our daily lives, in production, in our households, and that is a complementary area to our current business where we can grow and where, over the next few months, we hope we will be able to enter into discussions and weigh up various solutions. I believe that over the next 5 to 10 years, we will all have service robots at home, and life will look different to what it looks like today. So we see it as a massive potential, and we want to tackle this issue with Midea. We have a number of qualifications, LBR. Such a robot is able to pour a rice beer, but we've seen examples in the area of consumer, for example, particular cameras that come from the games area, and that is something that can be introduced into our products. They have their own speed, and those products can be used in industry to the advantage of our customers, because the consumer world, because of the opportunities, because of the volumes involved, have different price pressures. And therefore, these we have complementary good products which could be used in industry. So, if we summarize all of these issues, I would like to summarize things as possible. We've all won. KUKA has won. The employees of KUKA have benefited, and I'd like to go into that in detail. Our growth strategy, which we started in 2014, is supported, and we are still on our growth path, and we will be able to grow into new areas, and we will continue to be stronger because Midea supports us. My employees are very important to us. Our employees have guarantees up until the next decade. This is one point that was very important for me and to Mr. Munen. We have a high premium with 115 euros per share, but employees will be able to work as they have up until now on the basis of the same team. That is one of the future guarantees for the success of KUKA. The KUKA customers will benefit from the fact that we will continue to invest in research and development, and our data are protected. We have key points of a data protection system, and we will continue to work on that. We will have further opportunities to invest in R&D, so the advantages of R&D will flow into our products, and our customers will have the benefit of a strong KUKA. And, of course, the benefit for shareholders is that they get an attractive premium. So, for green ticks. All parties, all stakers in KUKA benefit from the offer, and for that reason, a clear conclusion that we recommend that the offer be accepted. I and Mr. Moonen are here to answer your questions, and we look forward to receiving them.
Thank you very much. Be sure to give us your name. Ms. Fischer will come to you with a microphone. Let's begin here up front. We will take the questions from those of you on the phone after we take the questions from those who are here in Brussels. Gerhard Tiekman from Die Welt. I have three questions. The first one is, how have the customers reacted to Midea's offer? In your recommendation, you can read that most of the most important customers assume that most of the most important customers will accept it. My specific question, is there any customer who has said if the Chinese acquire the majority or a major share of the share capital, we will then no longer be cooperating with KUKA? That's my first question. Second question, in the long version of your recommendation, you say that there is no promise with regard to contractual penalties. And is this common? Is this common that there is not such a penalty if there is a violation, or is this a special case? My third question, how do you assess the reactions from the United States when it comes to the transfer of data into rules? How do you see that? Is this the major danger that you see with regard to this, that there might not be a closing as a result? Okay, let me begin. As we said, the customers and the customers' reactions. Of course, in the last 6 weeks, we've talked with all of our stakeholders and in conjunction with our customers, and the customers have similar business profiles. Our major customers have most of their business in China, so for the Chinese market, it's important for all of them. We haven't heard from any question. We haven't received a no from any of our customers. Of course, they have to assess the situation. We've spoken with our most important customers, but we haven't heard a no from any of our customers due to a change in the shareholders' basis. None of them has said that they don't want to work with us anymore. Any question with regard to penalties? Well, we came up with an agreement which goes beyond what is normal. If you consider the term of the agreement and the commitments which we have in the investors agreement, this goes beyond what is normal, far beyond that. And we also have to consider the German law and any questions with regard to penalties. The law applies no matter what, but there is no specific regulation on this, but German law applies here, so the agreement is as usual, and it goes even beyond what is normal. When it comes to the United States, you mentioned two things. First of all, data security and data transfer, and also the regulatory issues. As far as data transfer is concerned, we can manage KUKA as we have managed it in the past, and in the ring fencing agreement that we've come to, this settles the question here, and that KUKA cannot be disturbed here, and the agreement goes very far here. In the United States, the regulatory issues there, first of all, antitrust, and the second issue that you mentioned is CFIUS and ITA, these two names, and you know that these are things that are feasible and that these are issues which we think that that will be feasible for us.
Should we just go back?
Yeah.
Stuttgarter Zeitung, Thomas Martin-Hendon. KUKA have become a political element, and the agreement which you have with Midea, has that been agreed with political representatives, and do you think that their concerns have been dealt with? Has Midea talked about any specific assurances in terms of investment. You just say that they have supported your strategy, but have they agreed to any particular sum in terms of investment to date?
I'll start with politics. At the AGM, I introduced the offer, and I said that we would look at the result. We've had a very open discussion with regard to KUKA and the shareholding of KUKA. Now, of course, I have spoken to many stakeholders and political representatives as well over the past few weeks, and I think that all stakeholders have been involved. We had contacts with all of those stakeholders, and what we see is that many of the concerns related to the term, normal is 3 to 5 years, we have 7.5 years. We have one offer, and for that offer, we have achieved the optimal conditions for the shareholders, for the development, for the employees of KUKA, for KUKA itself, and that led to the investor agreement and the 7.5 years. All of the stakeholders were involved and had their say. Now, as the executive board is independent, we can develop KUKA further. Midea is committed to our plans for the future and will provide investment as necessary. I can't say that anything on that at the moment because it would be actually counter to this notion of the independence of the executive board.
From the Handelsblatt, I have three questions too. Why aren't you adjusting the medium-term guidance if you have such positive effects with Midea? We had some open criticisms from some of the large shareholders. Has that been done away with? Have you been able to do away with this? And have you been able to see that we're talking about investment bankers here? And how many shares do you hold? That's my third question. Okay, let me answer the first question. I think you're referring to our guidance for 2020. This is between 4 and 4.5 billion in sales, and the margin is more than 7.5%. We believe that these targets will be achieved more quickly if we go together with Midea in the fields that Till Reuter has just referred to. But the precise figures, what we will actually be able to achieve, is something that we will verify in discussions with Midea. We do believe that we will achieve 10% more, but we want to discuss these issues in peace and quiet with Midea, and then we will give you information on the guidance. On your question, large shareholders, of course, you have to ask them directly. I cannot speak on their behalf, but we have been very constructive in the supervisory board. We discussed this intensely, and what's important here is the results. We've achieved a result which we have long-term commitments for KUKA and where we have a share price where the shareholders get a good premium, as you heard from Peter Molin, and now the shareholders have to decide whether they want to accept this offer or not. Facts and transparency are given, and now we have the possibility to invest further in R&D, and we have a long term, we have site guarantees, and now it's up to the shareholders to decide whether or not they want to accept this and also to believe in the long-term success of KUKA. My interest is KUKA and KUKA Align, and it's been that for the past 7 years from the very beginning. So these intense discussions are important. We have to get the best in the interest of KUKA. My shares, 50%, I will be tendering. I have 20,078. I think you're aware of this, but I'm happy to give you this figure, and half of these shares will then be tendered.
Jochen Heer from the Börsen-Zeitung. I have three questions. First of all, on the major stakeholders, you were accused of reacting too quickly and positively to the Midea offer and that you gave no other offers a chance. And then we have 49%, which Midea is limited to. Has that been established in some way? Will it come to that? And then on the investor agreement, you emphasize that 7.5 is a long time. Normally, however, a long period is 10 years. Why not 10 years? And what's going to happen after the 31st of December 2023? Well, I can only take a position on what I've already said. The first point was that I was accused of reacting too early and too positively. At the AGM on the 27th of May, I took an opportunity to introduce or to announce the offer, and I emphasize that we will have an open position to looking at the results. It was very important to have an open dialogue immediately, not just with employees, but also with stakeholders, because it's a very important issue for the company. From our point of view, it was clearly stated that the result is open. And for that reason, I have done my duty, as it were. The fact is that the executive board has to be neutral. We have been that. We have talked through a number of options with a number of stakeholders. So I really don't believe that we communicated the fact too early. We were always open, and we met our obligations in terms of looking at the various possibilities. But the fact is that today we have one offer. No other offer was made. And I think it's important to show that the executive board can only decide on one offer. The 49% is something which appeared in the media a couple of weeks ago. With regards to Midea and the communication of the offer, they said that they wanted a diversified shareholder structure, that was something that they welcomed, and if the major shareholders were to stay on board, then there would be 45 to 50%. The limit is set at 30%. You cannot just limit things to 49%. If you make an offer to share all shareholders, you have to take those shares which are tendered to you. But I think that what we've seen, and here there was a discussion about that as well, generally, Midea is prepared to tender shares to other purchasers. There were various options which were discussed with the company, but from a technical point of view, you cannot limit an offer to 49%. And for that reason, Midea has to accept all of the shares which are tendered to it. The investor agreement. More is better. I think 7.5 or 7.5 years is something which I don't know of. I don't know any agreement which has 7.5 years. It would be interesting to see if other merger agreements have 7.5 years. 7.5 years gives KUKA to prove that its strategy is the right one. And it's also a good period of time to show that we are successful. And if KUKA is successful, that is a guarantee for our future. And the 7.5 years gives us a period to prove that point. And it also provides guarantees to our employees in Augsburg and throughout the world. It's a proof that we have trust and faith in our employees. And therefore, I think that this period of 7.5 years is a very good thing. Mr. Kuhn had a question.
Rüdiger Kuhn from the FAZ. We'd like to pick up on this mechanism that you've mentioned again and again. How did Midea explain how they want to guarantee a certain amount of free float to have a good listing on the stock exchange? You said that Midea would pass this on at the same terms. I can't understand what that means. How is that going to work, assuming Midea has been offered 80%? It could be somewhat different with this offer. How can we guarantee that this will be passed on, and what will the conditions and terms be? Because 115 euros, what investor would be willing to buy this at 115 euros if in 5 or 7 years at the earliest is when we will achieve this amount in value? There was a unanimous vote in the supervisory board, and also a question of any sanctions. You explained that with German law. What happens, for example, if on the 31st of March 2017, you assume that closing will have happened. What happens if on the 1st of August 2017, Medea says, we're going to conclude a domination agreement or a controlling agreement? Well, Mr. Kern, let me answer your first question, free float. Medea said that they were not seeking any deleasing, so they will not be acquiring any more shares after the acquisition offer. We cannot guarantee that we'll be in the MDAX, but this will depend on what the amount is. But this is they will not be seeking a delisting. Mr. Moon, that doesn't answer my question. Medea is interested in free float, and you don't have to delist if you still trade two shares on the stock exchange. You want free float. It could be 20 or 10%. It could be 25% or higher. How will Medea come up with a possibility to guarantee good training? There has to be a good mechanism. And what about if too many shares are tendered? How will this be passed on? Will there be investors? There have also been models at Schaeffler. They, for other reasons, also had to issue shares from Continental. How is that going to work? It doesn't suffice if you say for the fifth time, if you say that Medea is ruling out delisting. Well, the first part of my answer was that we will not add any more. So the question is how many shares Medea will get by the 3rd of August, and then they will not increase their holding. Then we will have the corresponding free float. There is no mechanism, however, whereby, according to certain rules, that they would pass on these shares. Of course, we cannot commit Medea to have a lower price because the share price will come at a certain price. It might be lower than 115. So this, of course, is something that's not all that easy. It's not all that easy to pass on the shares at a lower price. So we have to find someone who will pay the 115 euros, then it can be passed on. But in our agreement, there is no mechanism for this. So that means that delisting is not ruled out or any other measures. This must be part of the investors' agreement as to how you can guarantee regular trading on the stock exchange. And this is something which is not found in the investors' agreement. It was not discussed how liquidity can be guaranteed. This will depend on how many shareholders remain that are not holders in the Medea shares, but we don't have a mechanism for that. Only the commitment that there will not be they are not striving for a delisting. The second topic was with regard to the model and the 49%. How can this be guaranteed? Well, it can only be guaranteed if another shareholder comes on board at the same terms. Again, we are having some discussions on this irrespective of the offer itself, and this is to ensure that there is a second shareholder involved. Now, the decision at the supervisory board was 10 in favor and 2 abstentions. That's in the opinion. So this is a clear-cut vote in favor. And your third question, on the 31st of March, if we have closing, I can't give you any details on that because you may have a follow-up question on that, I'm sure. I'm sorry, there's no microphone. He's referring to the 2 abstentions, I believe. We have confidentiality. 10 votes in favor, 2 abstentions. Closing, Medea does not want a control agreement. It's a question of KUKA. We want to be able to continue developing KUKA as we have in the past. We have a good understanding of the fact that KUKA needs to be independent. The executive board needs to be independent. That guaranteed our success in the past, and Medea agrees with this. That's why they don't want a domination agreement. If something were to change there, if we were to have a scenario that you're trying to anticipate, then we'd have to discuss that. But right now, we have a clear statement from Medea. They are not seeking a dominating, controlling agreement.
Stefan Stahl, Augsburger Zeitung. We're also talking about emotions here, despite the fact. How do you feel on this day? Is this a triumph that you have you've achieved these 7.5 years, which you say is an unusual period of time? Or are you secretly disappointed that no German or European investor has come forward in time? Does that mean that Voigt has failed in this matter? And as regards Augsburg, it was said that there was going to be a guarantee up until the end of 2023. Does that mean that the 3,500 jobs are secured in some way on a contractual basis? Thank you. We know each other well. I will answer, therefore, all of the questions I can. We have only one offer. And I think that the existing offer with €115 is a good premium. And for our colleagues, therefore, in the company, we've managed to achieve the best possible result. And I'm happy about that. I'm proud that we've achieved the period of 7.5 years for the location, the site, and our colleagues. And the fact is also that we have fought together within the executive board and the supervisory board to ensure the future of Google. So I'm proud that we've achieved that. Your other question was along the same lines as Mr. Kuhn, and that is what's going to end up being the result. Who is going to accept and who is not going to accept? Now, that is something which is not up to me or Peter Moonen. That's up to the shareholders. For the company, we have achieved the maximum we could. And I believe in KUKA. And if you talk about tender behavior and you look at my tender behavior, I am selling 50%. On the one hand, because €115 is a fabulous price, and the opportunities in China mean that there is a good future for KUKA, but we need a bit of time to develop in China. So I'm happy about what we've achieved, but I also believe in the future of KUKA. But we're not talking about quarters here. We're talking about consumer robotics and issues that you are fully acquainted with, which take a bit of time. And therefore, you can see from the way I am acting what my position is. Yes, we've achieved a great deal. KUKA is a fabulous company and has enormous potential. And in the end, it's up to the shareholders to decide how they're going to act. Augsburg will end in 2023. There are contracts, but the company and the executive board stands behind that location. Midea has committed itself to the location as well. But we need success. We need the best people in Augsburg, in Texas, in China, etc. And therefore, it's our task to make that happen. And we have up until the end of 2023 to show that KUKA is a very successful company. And if we are successful, then we won't have any problems with jobs and we won't have any problems with proving ourselves. If we are going to continue to grow, which is our assumption, and if we fulfill our guidance for 2020 and we move forward with in service robotics, then we will have more employees in Augsburg than is the case up until now. So we do believe that we will be expanding our capacities in Augsburg. A further question. In the background, from the trade unions and from from German industry, there's huge disappointment with regards to Voigt. There seems to be a lack of entrepreneurial spirit. It's just a question of portfolio managers. These are major accusations which have been made. It's a very important economic issue. Is KUKA an example of the failure of German SMEs? Mr. Stahl, I'm going to speak on behalf of KUKA, and I'm happy to have been part of KUKA over the past 7 years. We've obtained the best for KUKA. We've spoken to all stakeholders, and now the decision is up to the shareholders. I believe in KUKA. That's why I'm tendering half of my shares and holding on to half of my shares. These were issues which were discussed at the political level as well. We also talked about market economy and how that plays into the period of 7.5 years. The fact is that we want to achieve the best for our team in Augsburg. We've achieved the basis for that, and issues to do with the economy is something we have to discuss elsewhere. We have a framework, and within that framework, we achieved the best that we could.
From Reuters, I have lots of questions. First of all, the 49%, Mr. Reuters, you said that you've been discussing this with the shareholders, how these can be passed on. And who are you having these discussions with? Who could take on these shares? I'd also like to know, Mr. Moonen, do you also have shares? And what are you going to do with your shares? And the executive board, is that going to remain as it is? Or will you be increased in size? And who could you imagine? And what departments? And with your contracts, will they just continue as they are? Or there will be some changes to your contracts, your employment contracts, with a term until whenever? And I'd also like to hear about the markets. China, when you talk about achieving 1 billion earlier in time, when do you want to achieve the 1 billion mark? And in China, can't you say that there are lots of local manufacturers on the market, and they produce lots of cheap products on the market? Aren't you running the risk there that you'll have lots of competition in the years to come when it comes to prices and also your margin as a result? My final question on service robots, when will we see the first results there? And maybe you could give us more information as to which direction you want to head there. Thank you, Ms. Preisinger. 49%. That was one issue that we discussed with the stakeholders and the politicians. This was seen as a very sensitive issue. Midea said in their offer that they would have 45 to 50%. They would be happy with that amount. And that is why we saw this as an issue that could be discussed. And we wanted to see if there are investors that would come on board with, let's say, 20 to 25%. Our discussions are highly confidential. I'm sure, Mr. Kern, you realize that the 115 euros is a good premium. And the question is, who is willing in the long term to invest? Let me emphasize the term long term. And that's why I would like to let you know these are confidential discussions that are ongoing. And one possibility here would be to have a broader shareholder base. I'm sorry, that's off mic. We cannot hear the question. There is no microphone. All I can say is I am conducting discussions for KUKA with companies, with offices that potentially might buy shares. And it's the board of management, the executive board, that is conducting these discussions. Again, there is no microphone. The interpreters apologize. We cannot hear the question or comment coming from the floor. We are talking with potential investors. We have two investors who have invested in us, and we too would welcome it if they continue to be our investors. Let me make this very clear. In the supervisory board, we also talk with the others. But in addition to the other two, the question is, would there be additional investors? Your shares? I have 2,218 shares. And as a shareholder, I find the offer attractive, and I will be tendering these shares. In other words, that doesn't mean that I might not buy KUKA shares in the future, because I believe in KUKA and the potential of KUKA in the future. Our contracts go until 2020, and they will remain in force without any changes. We have a change of control clause, and then at the general meeting on the 27th of May, we said that we believe in KUKA's future, and we want to work on KUKA's future. Let me add one thing. The executive board, will this be extended? Well, we have 13,000 to 14,000 employees, and we are happy with the structure we now have. We might consider extending it. We'll have to consider discussing the topics as we do. You have the two members of the executive board. Anything else would be speculation at this point in time. Markets? Of course. Can we achieve the 1 billion more quickly in China? Of course we want to achieve it more quickly, but I think it's premature now to give you any information there. Of course, that is our ambition. We want to achieve our plan earlier than planned with Medea. In China, we have about 200 local manufacturers of robots, and they are double or triple digit when it comes to how many they produce. We see 22 to 25,000 robots will be sold. So local competition does exist, but you also have to consider the quality that cannot be compared with us. Of course, we are subject to cost pressure, but the brand KUKA that is referred to in the agreement, this is part of our DNA. What we want to achieve is the following. With Medea, we want to have the German DNA and bring that to China, and this link, which allows us as a German company to have strong roots in China as well, so that we can then be seen by the locals as German Chinese, so that we can also achieve high market shares. Service robots. Once we close, then we can discuss this with Medea. Service robots, this is a market which is complementary for us. In industry, in that division, we already have applications. Service robots would be an additional market for us where we would make use of the strengths and opportunities of a manufacturer of white goods, and we could also see the link to the households and hospitals which Medea has, so we can use our expertise in industry here. I see this as one of the areas for the future, service robots, and this can also be expanded. So that is why I am holding on to half of my shares. I would also like to ask the colleagues on the phone if they have any questions they would like to ask now. I will repeat the questions because I don't think you'll be able to hear them here in the room. Is there anyone on the phone who wants to ask a question? Please give us your name and where you work.
On the free float for the further shareholders, it is that's why we're continuing our discussions in order to obtain further investors, and that is also supported by Medea. They have also announced that they are interested not
in not minimizing the free float, but to welcome new shareholders. So we're in discussions, and we will try to keep the free float as high as possible and to find other alternative investors who support the business of Kuka. That is our task over the next few weeks, and which we will take very seriously. As regards the second question, you talked about the approval and foreign trade law. We think that these can be achieved, but can't give you any further information at this point in time. Counterbid, a clear statement, we have only one bid available. The executive board has to be neutral, and if a further bid came, we would have to look at that in the same way as we have with this one. We have had discussions with many stakeholders, but even despite that, we only have one offer on the table. That is what we are looking at. It is the bid which we will be discussing, and at the moment, we have no other further bids. Point with regard to the neutrality. Unfortunately, the interpreter can't hear the questions properly. The question is whether neutrality makes it an obligation to seek other bids. I'll repeat what I said, and I'd like to explain what I said. There's only one bid on the table. If there were discussions with the stakeholders, that is part of our job as we understood it, but the executive board has to remain neutral. The executive board has to be open to all other bids and look at those particularly carefully. €115, 7.5 years, that is what is on the table and what we are discussing. We don't have anything else. It was, of course, our job to talk to the stakeholders and to look at various scenarios. But the result is that we have one bid, and that is something that we have discussed in detail today. And for that reason, in our reasoned opinion, we have said that if another better offer arrives on the table, then we will look at that in detail, and we could change our opinion and could support that bid, but that's also all in the conditional tense at the moment, because at the moment we only have one bid on the table. Thank you. Are there any other questions from the
Please German? Press star one for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press the star followed by one at any time.
Is there any question from those of you on the phone?
I'll repeat the question. The question is, what is the process going to be if there are there is a debate about CFIUS? Well, if there are doubts, then that would relate to the aerospace sector and a small part of the 1% of sales with regard to KUKA. And in that case, we would have to discuss with the regulatory authorities what options there are to solve the problem. But with regard to this 1%, given the fact that it's a small percentage, we would have to look for possible solutions. We don't, however, see that as an impediment to the deal as a whole. We'll take one further question from the German line, and then we'll give our English colleagues an option, a possibility to take the floor.
Want to do the last one?
I'll take the last one, and then you do that. It may be that we'll take a little bit of
the
time.
The next question is from Java Angori from Bloomberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Können Sie mich hören?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, hi. So just wanted to check a couple of things. Over the next 7.5 years, or even in the near term, is there any talk of Midea starting to gain some sort of transfer of technology knowledge or, you know, robotics manufacturing in China?
And then
related to that would be, what do you see that doing to your average selling prices in China? For robotics. For robots.
Thanks for your question.
I understood the question to be about the selling prices in China. Of course, we, due to normal developments, there's always pressure on prices, and we plan our products more and more efficiently and to make them better and better. And on the basis of our cooperation with Midea, we see no change in our own developments. We believe that we will have to drive developments so that we will be involved when it comes to costs and technology. We want to be leaders here. That's what we've done in the past, so that technology is available at the right price. Nothing will change there. We need to be the leaders, and that is management's role. We have to work on these developments. We have to have the right products for tomorrow. Of course, the products have to be better than low-cost products from other countries, and this is why I say that we see that we are called upon to get the very best for KUKA. Are there any other questions from the English followers? Then I'd like to thank you for all of your questions. That concludes our press conference. And thank you very much. I hope you have a lovely day. Thank you very much. Thank you.